Today's take on the job market, still in slow-mo.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Mitchell Hartman in for Steve Chiatakis. The latest figures from the Labor Department show more people filed initial claims for jobless benefits this week. The number's up by 6,000, probably too high to get the unemployment rate down from its current 9%. That closely watched report from the government comes out tomorrow. One thing that could make job growth and economic expansion in the U.S. harder is Europe slipping deeper into recession, which would hurt U.S. banks and sap our exports. The European Central Bank and other central banks around the world are working to get the euro back on an even keel. Our New York bureau chief Heidi Moore joins us to discuss just where this crisis might be headed. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning.
So what does this bailout say to you? The governments are on top of the crisis, or are they playing catch up?
Yeah, they're playing catch up, and they have been since 2008, right? So Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank, said that the ECB has tried almost everything possible, and he admitted that it's had almost no impact. And, you know, it felt a lot like this in the U.S. in 2008.
Right. And people continue to make parallels between this debt crisis and the mortgage meltdown of 2008.
And that's a pretty good parallel. The last time that European banks found it this hard to get money was way back in January 2008. Now, that was really almost at the beginning of the subprime crisis in the economy. And if you think about what happened back then, a lot of what the Fed did and what the Treasury did was bend rules. They had to create new rules on the fly. And the European Central Bank is doing that exact same thing now to come up with new bailouts. So I talked to Lorcan Roche-Kelly. He's the chief European strategist at Macrolytics.
There's all these strange things that are happening there that 2 years ago I would have said, no, that can't happen. No, that's legal. No, that's against the treaty. But the ECB still does it. And the reason they do it is because they will do everything they can when they come to the edge of the cliff to save the currency.
Now, that sounds like the Fed and the Treasury back in 2008. Remember TARP?
I do remember TARP. Marketplace's New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And now let's do the numbers. Wall Street's giving up some of yesterday's huge gains after that coordinated action by central banks. The Dow's down 31 at 12,014, NASDAQ's flat, and the S&P 500 is off about 0.3%. Europe's markets have been lower today. Today is World AIDS Day. President Obama is marking the occasion with a $50 million boost in funding for AIDS treatment in the U.S. And global activists are using the event to push for generic AIDS drugs that are cheaper. Senior business correspondent Bob Moon has more.
Secretary of State Clinton recently hailed the falling cost of treating AIDS per patient in Africa and Vietnam.
In 2004, the cost averaged nearly $1,100 a year. Today, it is $335 and falling.
She credited bulk purchasing, cheaper shipping methods, and what she called simply lower-cost drugs. What she didn't mention is what's driving those costs down.
That success has been possible because over 90% of the medicines we currently use are generic.
Brooke Baker is a Northeastern University law professor and an advocate for loosening global monopolies on AIDS drugs. He says the pharmaceutical lobby is trying to keep a tight grip on newer treatments by stiffening global patent protections. But he says they shouldn't be considered one company's intellectual property.
Medicines are treated like bicycles. They're simply marketplace commodities. But the difference between bicycles and medicines are people's lives and well-being depend on them.
A statement from Abbott Labs touts the company's commitment to tiered pricing for countries in greatest need. It contends that balances the needs of patients with its investment in developing new drugs. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at Novo Nordisk-US.com.
Big trouble for the home of SpongeBob SquarePants. And no, they're not tearing down Bikini Bottom to drill an oil well. Rather, his home channel, Nickelodeon, has seen a major drop in ratings in October and November. The network's been number one with kids for 16 years, and more preteens are watching TV. Tim Malloy joins us. He writes about TV for TheWrap.com. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
What's so stinky, as my daughter might say, at Nickelodeon?
Well, the problem with Nickelodeon is they've had a very sudden, very hard-to-explain ratings drop. It started in mid-September, and it's continued in October and November. And Nickelodeon is really concerned that this might be a case of Nielsen counting their viewers wrong or undercounting them. And they point out that some other networks, including the Cartoon Network, have also had ratings slides recently. However, Cartoon Network seems to be bouncing back, at least as of numbers released for November, while Nickelodeon seems to be doing worse than ever.
So it's a classic case of blame the messenger, possibly. But assuming the ratings drops are real, they can also have real-world economic consequences for the parent company, Nickelodeon, right?
Very much so. Viacom stock is actually being affected by this, or at least analysts are paying attention to it. One analyst has downgraded his rating on it from buy to neutral, and another has lowered his target price very slightly. But it does show you just how much attention they're paying to the ratings at this children's network.
But aren't these things somewhat cyclical? I mean, you know, some of these shows peak and trough and peak again just on the whim of a bunch of kids.
It's entirely possible that, you know, everybody at school started a whispering campaign against SpongeBob, but Nickelodeon has pointed out that these things tend to be very, very, very predictable. I mean, Nickelodeon has been on top for 16 years among 2 to 11-year-olds, and for them to have just a very sudden dive in the last 3 months seems strange.
That's Tim Malloy. He writes on TV at TheWrap.com from New York. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And finally, they say there's no free lunch. Also, apparently in Upper St. Clair, Pennsylvania, no free money. Seems a bank van spilled more than $100,000 as it was driving down the highway. People stopped their cars to grab some. Now local police say they could face criminal charges if they don't give it back. They've got a 2-week grace period, and the bank is offering a reward for people who return its wayward cash. In Los Angeles, I'm Mitchell Hartman. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
There's one country we keep hearing about with the whole European debt crisis thing. Not Greece, not Italy, it's...
Well, they think that the euro is in jeopardy, but on the other hand, they don't think that it is a catastrophe if the euro were to fail at the end of the day.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What do the Germans really think? That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.